Good morning.
And Merry Christmas. Welcome to our Christmas Day worship here in Kemeny Parish Church. We're delighted to have you with us this morning at the tail end of our marathon of Christmas services. We had a lovely time last night, I think, as well, with our carols for all. I think the jokes were much better this year. Our watch night service, and now today on our Christmas Day celebration as well. I think Christmas is always a special time. I think it's nice when it coincides with our Sunday day of worship. Every day belongs to the Lord, and having worship on Christmas Day, I think, is a special reminder of that truth. And so we're here to adore the newly born Christ child, born for us on Christmas Day. And we'll start our time together with singing our first song, one of my personal favorites, O Come All Ye Faithful. And during the singing of this hymn, your offering for God's work will be uplifted.
Thank you.
One further intimation, this Christmas weekend of services, we've had a chosen charity of Samaritan's Purse. And if you remember last January when our village experienced severe flooding, Samaritan's Purse was one of the relief groups that came into our village to help respond to the impact that the floods had on many of our homes. They helped people clean out damaged materials. They offered counseling and support to those who were grieving. And they worked here in Kemne, in Varuri, Kintore, Bankery, Ballater, and beyond. And they go all around the UK and the whole world. Part of our response team came all the way from Canada just for the floods here in Kemne. And they work all over the world to respond to various disasters, and they offer God's comfort and consolation to those who've experienced such things. So as you depart from the church today, on the left-hand side, you'll have an opportunity to make a freewill contribution to the ongoing work of Samaritan's Purse, and your generosity for that cause is warmly appreciated. So now let us enter into a time of prayer together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are here today to celebrate your wonderful birth. Today we celebrate the incredible miracle of your incarnation. Today we celebrate the joy of Emmanuel, God with us. As we enter into the joy of this Christmas season, make us mindful of the gospel story. Make us mindful that the hour of grace has come. And even now, even in the midst of darkness, you are turning the world back to you. Lord, please accept the offerings that we have brought to you this morning. We know that you require nothing, but yet you call us to give of our time, our talents, and our money for the glory of the gospel. Use these things that we have brought to spread the good news of Jesus near and far. Be with us, we pray, in this time of worship together and throughout this special day. We pray these things in the name of our newly born Savior, who taught us to pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This morning's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. Reading from the second chapter, which can be found on page 966 of the Pew Bibles. I've done a bit of talking the last couple days, so you'll pardon my voice. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a diligent search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. To him be the praise and the glory, now and forever. Amen. We continue now in worship by singing together at this time of giving.
At this time of giving, gladly now we pray. Dear Son, goodness and mercy from the heavenly, earth could not contain the treasures heaven holds for you. Perfect joy and lasting treasures loves us from and to earth. At this time of giving, gladly now we pray.
Confess that last song, which was wonderful by the way, really, really brought to mind for me one particular musical, Fiddler on the Roof. Very much the same kind of feel to it of snapping your fingers, indeed. Well, now is one of my favorite points in this service, I think. We have the sharing of gifts when children of all ages are welcome to come forward and to bring a gift to show to the congregation what they received on Christmas. So feel free to come forward and bring your gifts. We can all just be standing and seated right here in the center and bring forward and share what we've got this Christmas. And sometimes this turns into stump the minister as well. Very good. Well, Lewis, what do you have for us?
Oh, look at that.
It says, Erase and Learn Wipe Clean Book.
Ooh, can we wipe it clean?
Yes.
Look at that.
Very cool.
Very cool. Which one's your favorite? Oh, the
Blaze.
Red one.
Yes,
Blaze.
Of course.
Yay.
I was going to guess either Blaze or Crusher, one of the two. Very good. Thank you, Lewis.
Okay, Victoria is next. What do you have? You want to stand up?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do with your pen?
Write.
You write.
Right.
You write. Uh-huh. And whose yes. name is on the pen?
My name.
Victoria. It
All right.
says Victoria. Mm. Very good.
That's
what
very handy.
What color is it? Kind of a
it's a twisty pen?
It's a little purpley.
Yep.
Looks
like silver.
It's got silver on it.
Very nice.
Good.
Very good.
Oh, Joshua, I think you're going to like this one.
It's done
it.
Mm-hmm.
What does this do?
It senses metal.
Metal. That is very good. And so it will find metal, huh? Oh.
Nice.
Are you going to go find treasure?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay.
That is pretty cool.
Can I see that? Very good. Nope, doesn't work. Very nice. Hope you have a lot of fun with
that.
Good? What do we have?
What is it?
It's the newest book of David Williams.
Okay.
Ooh, look at that.
Very nice.
Have you read others?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
All of them.
Very good.
Dang. And what do you like about them?
They're really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I start reading them, I can't stop reading them.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
Sign of a good book. A good book review.
Yes, indeed. Katie, what do you have? The eighth Harry Potter book, right? I'm sensing a theme, Katie. Yes.
I also got a bracelet.
I also got
a bracelet.
Okay. Bracelet. What does that say on it? Middle cis. Okay. There we go. Just in case you forget, right? Good. Okay. Good.
Annabelle,
how about you, dear? Little sis.
Sis.
All right. Okay.
And what does your shirt say? She got a judo shirt. Mm-hmm. Very good. I like that. Look, you've got a nice pin on there. The penguin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fabulous, Annabelle.
Annabelle's going to say that Heather and I are both the babies in our respective families, so we know how important the youngest sibling is.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I like that. Oh, another book. I like all the books.
Guinness World Records. I would say so.
Wow,
I would say so.
Good.
Mhm.
No.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
Joshua, did you want to share?
Yeah. Well, I brought one gift to share as well. This was from my lovely wife, who knows me so well. And I think she knew I needed more Christmas attire, but she wanted to make it personal as well. So. There we go. So, Katie, I said that I sense a theme with your clothing. I think I'm not one to talk on that regard. Yes, indeed. Boys and girls, those are wonderful gifts that you have shared, and it's nice to see so many books up front. We just know we have readers in our congregation. That's a good thing as well. But I hope that the rest of your Christmas day is a wonderful and blessed time for you and your families, and thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us this morning. You can go back and have a seat with your families now. If it's not too silly, I think I'll keep my hat on for the rest of the time. Even if it is too silly, I guess. So let me ask you all a question. Is there any such thing as a perfect gift besides this one? What is a perfect gift? Sometimes when it comes to gifts, we think about them for months. We plan them out for a long time. Maybe we're so excited to find a perfect gift. But maybe sometimes it seems like it doesn't quite meet that standard. Maybe I'm not the only one who's ever purchased something for someone else, been so excited about it, then it was given and delivered. I think, you know, I could have done that instead. That would have been a better idea. Often those things don't come to me until the moment that I give a gift. So how do we know a perfect gift when we see it? And who decides that it's a perfect gift? The one giving the gift or the one receiving the gift? We know when it comes to the idea of a perfect gift, Scripture gives us excellent guidance on how to choose a perfect gift. What does a perfect gift look like? Because God has already done for us in Jesus a perfect gift. So four things to reflect on that make a perfect gift. First of all, a perfect gift must be personal. John's gospel tells us that Jesus himself is the most personal gift we have ever received from God. A famous verse in John chapter 3 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave or gifted us his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." There is no more personal gift than Jesus. God gave him specifically for you, for me, and for the whole world. So the perfect gift must be personal. The perfect gift must also be practical. It should be useful. The gift of Jesus addresses our most practical need, the need for salvation. There is never a moment in our lives when we are not in need of this great gift. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul, the apostle, tells us that Jesus himself is our peace. He has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility between humans and between us and God. Isn't it satisfying when we give a gift to someone and realize in that moment they will get a lot of use out of this? I'm going to get a lot of use out of this hat. Much to my wife's chagrin. Jesus is God's most practical gift to us. So the perfect gift is personal, it's practical, but it also is pleasing. When Heather's parents visited us last October, they brought us a few gifts from back in the United States. And I'm wearing one of those gifts this morning. We talked about theme and attire. Yep. I match. These are a personal gift, obviously. They're practical to keep my feet warm, and I assure you they are most certainly pleasing. Win or lose, I love my team. Jesus is the most pleasing gift we could ever hope to ask for. I've heard other preachers talk to congregations about the idea that every person has a God-shaped hole in their lives. What this means to me is that our lives are incomplete apart from God. There's nothing else in the world that can satisfy us the way that God can. The book of Psalms tells us, "For the Lord satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry soul with good things." God fills the deepest depths of our hearts with his pleasing love. So the perfect gift is personal, it's practical, it's pleasing, and the last P, it's also permanent. I've had many memories of growing up, beyond excited for Christmas morning, for this day of the year, beyond excited to tear into the beautifully wrapped gifts beneath the tree. I'd like to think that I was and am grateful for the many wonderful Christmas gifts I've received in my life. But that huge rush of excitement never lasts, does it? Sooner or later, it does fade away. Parents breathe a sigh of relief about that. And new presents, new toys eventually lose their luster, and we move on, looking forward to the next Christmas when we get to do the whole thing over again. In order for a gift to be perfect, it must be permanent, it must be eternal. And that means that it would never break, never be outgrown, always be needed, always be enjoyed, lasting longer than even life itself. Jesus is God's permanent gift to us. The forgiveness, mercy, comfort, and strength offered by Jesus, they never wear out. They're never, ever outgrown. So the perfect gift is personal, practical, pleasing, and permanent. Only God can give such a perfect gift, and he has done so for us in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So what can we do in response to God's perfect gift of Jesus? Like the wise men so long ago, the Magi we heard about this morning in Matthew's gospel, all that we can do, all that we should do is kneel before the manger, to behold the majesty of the newborn King and offer our gifts back to God. And what gifts should we bring to the one who was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The only gift we can, our whole lives. Our whole lives. We must stay focused on what truly matters. Even at Christmas, it's very easy in the busyness and celebration of the day to lose sight of the fact that this day is really all about Jesus, about the birth of salvation for us. And we can show our thankfulness for God's perfect gift by living into his love for us this Christmas. And last year on this day, I remember I shared an adaptation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on Christian love. I liked it so much, I thought it brought Christmas into such clear perspective, I thought that I would share it again today. So listen to this now, please. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table for mealtime, but do not share the true meaning of Christmas, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not demonstrate kindness to strangers, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir, but do not keep my focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Video games may break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But the giving the gift of love will endure forever. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This Christmas, may each of us embrace God's perfect gift, which is Jesus Christ. And may our whole lives reflect his glory to the world around us. Amen. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn, The First Noel.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be together today in this place. Thank you for the great privilege of celebrating the birth of our Savior. We know and we believe that good news was announced by the angels for the whole world. We know that your love and your grace will have the final and lasting word over all of creation. And Lord, we pray that the peace of Christmas would come to every corner of our world. We pray that the message of Christmas, the message of the birth of Jesus, will soften every heart. In this joyous season, help each of us to share your love with others. Help us to share it with family, with friends, and with strangers. Help us as well this Christmas season to be mindful of those who are grieving. This morning we pray especially for the family of Jean Law, for the family of Margaret Lawson, for the family of Jenny Strang, and for the family of Georgina Guild. Lord, hold each of those families in your tender mercy. Give them comfort and consolation. Fill them with a hope that comes only from the gospel, the message of life and hope for the whole world. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming to us in Jesus Christ. We give ourselves to you this day and every day. Amen. Now we sing our closing song of praise, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Friends, may Jesus Christ, who by his holy incarnation draws together all things earthly and heavenly, fill us with all joy and peace in believing. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this Christmas day and forevermore.